homecoming day that we're going to be able to be part of. Remember, we have children's church for ages 4 to 8. If you have children here and they'd like to go to children's church, we'd like to participate. But if they'd like to stay with you, then they're more than welcome to do that as well. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 14. Don't know what's going on with my throat this morning. It seems like it's wanting to close up. I guess it was being outside yesterday trying to pick up sticks and trying to hurry spring along to get it here, trying to work in the yard and different things, but that's all right. We'll just do the best with what we got, and God will bless it and make it all right. But this morning in Exodus chapter 14, we're going to think about Moses and the Red Sea and the children of Israel, and I'm going to tell you, in the day and time that we live, we are standing before a sea of turmoil before us. We have trials on every hand, and it seems like the world is closing in behind us. And in front of us, we have a great bunch of troubling things that we need to wade through, and we're going to have to wade through. And I'm thankful that the power that divided the Red Sea and allowed the children to cross over on dry land, that we're still in touch with today, that God is still on the throne and He is still in command. And if we'll just turn to Him and be obedient, as Moses and the children had to be. And can you just imagine being on the backside of the desert after 40 years there? If you was Moses and all of a sudden out of a burning bush, a voice came to you and started speaking to you. Took some faith and obedience to step out and to listen. I don't know about y'all, but I believe I would have got dumbfounded when I seen the bush being burning, but not being burned up. And then when a voice started speaking out of it, it would have me worried about myself just a little bit. But I'm glad that Moses hearkened to the voice of God and knew that it wasn't something to be troubling unto him, that God was speaking to him for a purpose. In God's Word today, sometimes we get troubled when we read it because God's speaking to us and telling us the things that needs to be done and we ought to do as children of God. And many things have been left on the wayside because of society and wanting to fit in and not wanting to cause waves and not wanting to cause people to get upset in church. But if it's the Word of God that is upsetting us, then we need to get in line with the Word. And we need to get our lives fashioned after it. And God has a master plan. He had a plan for Moses because He brought him through the time of those being killed and was raised in Pharaoh's house. Moses committed a terrible thing there when he murdered that Egyptian because of the bondage and because of the cruelty that he was committing to his kindred there. But he couldn't stand it any longer because he saw the injustice that was taking place. And he rose up and he smote that Egyptian and killed him there and tried to hide the evidence, but he couldn't do that. And it's the same thing in our life. We can't hide the evidence from God. He sees all. It's better than having dust or fingerprints or DNA. God sees it when it's happening. He knows it before you've done it. He knows your heart afterwards, and He knows you through that trial and that temptation, and He's there to provide a way out. And He provided a way out for Moses, but Moses, he rose up in his anger and his passion for his people and ended up slaying this Egyptian. Now, we see that if you watched the movie last week, Beginnings, it was on the History Channel, and I believe also the Lifetime Channel, if I'm not mistaken there, a story on the Bible. And we mentioned this Wednesday night, they said they were 13 million viewers on Sunday night. 13 million people that were wondering and had a desire to see what this movie was about. And it was very good and it was very accurate to some points, but there were some things that they took their artistic liberties with and different things there that it doesn't have Bible for there to back up exactly. But most of it was there pretty close to the Word of God. We know that whenever Moses rose up there, we don't see where him and Pharaoh's son was fighting there in the court and their training and all these things, and that there was jealousy between them. We don't see that there. They may have been, but they took a little liberty there saying those things. Took a little liberty there when Lot was there in Sodom and the angels came in to the city, and one of them came in and had a gash on his head and he was bleeding from it and went inquiring of Lot a place to be able to stay that night. That's not the way the Word of God says it, because it was Lot that saw those men being strangers in the city, and he went to them and hearkened for them to come into his house so he could provide protection. So it wasn't hardly exactly right there. And so that's why you need to know your Bible whenever you're watching things like this, so you can see where they're just almost right, but they're not exactly, because that's where they'll get you with some lies that they can tell in stories like this. It also said that Moses smote the Red Sea. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments' time, because what happened with Moses and God telling him to speak to the rock, and Moses didn't do it, and he smote the rock, and God got mad at him because then it was putting it that Moses provided the water, and he told Moses because of his disobedience that he wasn't going to be able to go into the promised land because he didn't hearken unto him, and he smote the rock in his anger toward the children that he wasn't going to be able to go in there. It doesn't say in God's word that he smote the Red Sea and it parted. It told him to stretch forth his hand over the seas and divide it, and the waters parted. He didn't smite it. And there's some other things that was just you might say is insignificant things, but they're very significant to God. And our obedience to God is very significant, that He wants us to be loyal subjects to Him. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to love Him because we want to love Him. He wants us to serve Him because we want to serve Him. Not like Pharaoh was making them do, not increasing their burdens, not asking them to do more than they had been doing and increasing their burden of labor there. That's what the government's doing to us. We need more money that we can fund some of these things to find out why pigs fly. I mean, you think that's ridiculous, but there's some things out there almost that ridiculous that they're providing money for. They're out here, and we need all animals. We don't need to be harsh to any of them, but when they're providing millions and millions of dollars to protect that one little turtle, and there's only one there, find some other turtles and move him there so he's got a chance, so he's got some friends. And all these other things, and we're letting our children die. We are... I'll just tell you how I feel about it. We're funding murder and killing our kids, and we wonder why we're in the shape that we're in. Amen. That's just this preacher's way of thinking about it. You can think any way you want to on it, but that's how I feel that we're how long is it going to be till we say, well, you know, we can't afford to keep up our elderly no more. When you get 70 years old, we're just going to give you a pill, and you've done served society, so we're just going to take you out so we can make room for the rest. You say, oh, preacher, that never happened. Oh, don't count on it. Don't count on it in the society we live today. Amen. Let me tell you, God's not pleased with the things that's going on. But let's get down to chapter 14, God's Word in Exodus. Now we see all the things that Moses there has done, and Aaron as they went in, and all the different things that they told Pharaoh, said, went in and said, let my people go. And we see the flies, we see the frogs, we see the water being turned to blood, we see the rod that was laid down there and turned into a serpent. We've seen all these things take place, the 10 plagues. But that final plague, boy, that was a doozy. It come in there, and the death angel came through the camp of the children of Israel and looked and saw the blood on the doorpost. Kept on going till it got to the Egyptian's house. And there was a great wailing that took place because of all the firstborn that were dying in the land and countryside, and all that was taking place, and even touched Pharaoh because his child was taken as well. And we know that it finally broke his heart down to the point. He said, I want y'all out of here. I want to release you because we can't stand no more of this. Y'all get your stuff and get out. And the children of the Egyptians, they were willing to make sure they got out. They gave them what they needed. They gave them stuff for their journey and told them to go on and leave and get away from us. And we can't stand no more of this. And that's where we get to up to chapter 14 now. The children of Israel taking their leave, leaving there and going to make their camp and be going to the promised land that God had promised to them, and Moses leading the children out of bondage. Today we need some Moses leading us out of the bondage that we've been encamped about because of the laws and the regulations that man's trying to hand down to contain God. And all those, I'll just tell you right now, and I ain't going to pull no punches about it, are inspired by Satan. Anything that tries to hinder the hand of God is inspired by Satan. And you can quote me on that, and you can tell whoever you want to. But we see now that Satan is growing strong because people are allowing him to get strongholds in their life. And it said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, this is chapter 14, verse 1, that they turn and encamp before Philahathroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baalzephon, before it shall be ye encamped by the sea. He's telling them where to go to. God knew exactly what was going to happen and told them to camp by the sea here. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, in the wilderness, and hath shut them in. And he knew these things was going to take place. He knew what was going to be on Pharaoh's heart. And he knew that he was going to say that the children of Israel were out there in the wilderness and they were lost. They were being hindered by the sea there and by the wilderness and were encamped there. And then it was a hardening their hearts. But we see Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he followed after them in verse 4. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all of his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. We see here that the Egyptians, they couldn't stand it because all their slave labor was gone. And I think that we have forgotten what built America. We have forgotten that it was hard work that built America. We've shipped our jobs overseas and we wonder why we've got so much unemployment. Amen. We've took everything away from the little man, the common man, and we've given it to the man that had more. And we're increasing his pocket size, and that's what Pharaoh was wanting to do. Increase his pocket size. He was wanting to increase the things that he had. So he was going to take into the slavery. And we see that we have become slaves to our jobs. It's got to the point that if you have a job and they say you're going to do this on Sunday, what happens? You go do it on Sunday because you're afraid if you don't, you're going to lose your job. Because we ain't that many to pick out there today, ain't that many jobs out there to look for, and they have a rule over us because of our economy and because of the money that's in our pocket that we think that we need to be able to go on and do this. We've made ourselves many a slave to our possessions because we have more and different things than we've ever had before, but we've made ourselves a slave to be able to provide for those things. Pastors and preachers and deacons and church members alike, we've all done those things and become slaves into the things that we have. God wants to set us free from that bondage, and He wants to help us to be able to overcome that. He wanted to help the children here come out of their bondage from the hand of the Egyptians, but He knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He knew that his heart was going to harden, and He was going to pursue after them. Let me tell you, when we get pursued after, do we run faster, or do we stand our ground? Are we ready for the fight, or do we run and hide? What do we do when it comes to standing up for God? Do we turn our head and we hide it, or are we ashamed when we hear someone speaking about God? Do we join in the conversation? Do we go and do those things that God would have us to do? Do we continue to praise His name in the midst of adversity? Do we stand up for what God would have us do? Moses could have very well said, you know, I ain't welcome down in Egypt. I killed one of them, and I'm a wanted man down there. They'll kill me on sight. God, I can't go down there. God knew his past. God knew what his future was going to be and knew what he needed him to do. And Moses listened and was obedient. Now we see the children leaving Egypt. We see them here being in camp now in the place where God told them to. And said it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled in the heart of Pharaoh, and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? You ever made a decision like that and you say, what was I thinking? We've all had one of them moments. Here a couple weeks ago, Homer was talking about his forehead hitting or hurting. And I said, do you have a habit of doing this when you make a bad decision? Sometimes we got sore foreheads when we smack ourselves in the forehead for the decisions we make. Now, his was sinuses. We know what his was. But sometimes we do that. Or maybe it's where we're beating our head against the wall because we're not going through the door. You know, Jesus said he was the door. Maybe we're beating our head over the wall trying to get to the door. And you know, that's not a funny thing because I have been where you couldn't see. I've hit a few doors, I've hit a few walls, run into a few things, still do it. The department stores and me just don't get along, especially when they put them clothing racks this far apart and you're this wide. It don't work good. I knock down more than I get to look at. If they've got glassware in there, you can forget it. I walk in the door, I walk back out because I'm just afraid I'm going to knock something off that I can't afford to buy. But they said, what have we done? Why have we let them go? What got into us? And in essence, I think about that too, is us as Christians. What happened to us? What happened to us? We got the strongest foundation. We've got a God that's alive. Why did we allow this to happen? Why did we get scared of one woman that wanted prayer out of school? One woman. It started making a noise, so, well, we got to take prayer out. Oh, we got to take one nation under God out. Well, you know, the way we act, we might as well. We might as well. I'm not advocating doing that. I think we need to put one nation back under God. You know, they say, well, we're going to have a conversation with our political leaders. Hey, well, I think you need to have a conversation with God. Amen. I think it needs to be Him included in the conversation. I think there needs to be some more seeking His will for our life. Verse 6, and He said, He made ready His chariots and took His people with Him. He said, we're going to get them, boys. Get the dogs, get the chariots, let's go. We got to go bring them back. I don't know what we think. We're going to bring them back. And He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camp by the sea beside Haroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They got afraid. They looked back and they seen the mighty army coming. Stephen was talking about 10,000 of them that are joined together. Reminded me of Elijah whenever he thought he was the only one left. God said, listen, Elijah, I got 7,000 out there. He never bowed and needed nobody else. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. There's more of us than what you think. And sometimes it seems like we're the only ones that care. Sometimes it seems like we're the only church that's got a love and a zeal and a drive for God. But there's others like us that's out there, that's got a love that reaches beyond the church walls and reaches beyond just the church family to help others that are in need, to try to share the love of God with others that they may see. But here we see that they was crying out to the Lord. You know, it also reminds me in our lives, when do we cry out the most to the Lord? When we're in trouble. When we're having it easy, we forget about Him. When things are going like we want them to, I'm just smooth sailing. I'm just Coolio here, and I go on and do my thing. Everything going just like I want it. And we forget to thank God for it in that times. And ask God for help us whenever the hard times are coming. Because it will come. It will come. And the closer you and walk with God and the harder you try to serve Him, the more hard times will be there. Why? Because Satan don't like it. And he's going to attack you. And he's going to try to bring you down just as Pharaoh was coming after the children. They got the sea before them. They got Pharaoh's army behind them and seen them coming. What are we going to do? We'd probably just do like they did. It said, they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with thou thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They said, man, we could have died back in Egypt. At least they wouldn't kill us, they was working us to death, but they wasn't just going to come to kill us and take us back and treat us bad. I mean, they was treating them pretty bad to start with. Wasn't there no graves in Egypt? And here you brought us out in this place, and here we're going to die here. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, I want to tell you something. It would be better to die for serving God than it would be to getting along with the crowd. You got a retirement waiting on you of peace and blessedness and to see His face and to see the nail-scarred hands and all this that God done for you through Jesus Christ and through His death at Calvary, His resurrection from the tomb, and Him going back and putting His blood on the mercy seat. We got so much more to look forward to. It's better to serve God and have troubles and trials because Satan don't like it than it would be to get along with Him. Amen. Than it would be to get along with Him. But so many say, oh, we'll just go along. It's okay. Let's don't stand for nothing. We'll fall for anything. And let's just get along with everybody. This week they was talking in part of the legislature of hate crimes. That some of the things that I've preached here, I'll be guilty if they pass that law. So I hope y'all got your bond money ready. But I pray that it don't get to that point. That God will give the people in charge enough sense to know that calling what's right's right and what's wrong's wrong. Amen. Is still God's given grace to His people and to the world. God established the law. God knows the law. And it's not a grievous thing if you're His child and that you're willing to be obedient. It only becomes grievous when we don't want to obey it. Amen. I don't know why so many people are afraid of policemen. and act like they're the bad person when they're there just to protect the laws and to enforce them. That is what is right. Amen. If you're doing right, you have no fear of them. But it's always been a wonder to me why people fear them so much. It's the people that's not wearing the badge that you need to be more afraid of, and the things that are done. Sometimes, and I know there's bad ones in every bunch. Pharaoh no doubt had some good people, but he had some wicked people as well. And they went out to get the children. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And I don't want us to stand still. I don't want us to look and get afraid of what's before us or what's been behind us of pursuing after us. I want us to go forward for God. I don't want to get it stuck in a quagmire of situations. God made dry land for Israel to cross on in the Red Sea when he parted the waters. But it wasn't the same for the Egyptians when they got there. Their chariots got bound down in the mud that was there for them. God will make a way for us to be able to cross on dry ground. He will help us even though the troubles before us look like they're deep and treacherous. I heard a song that says, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. We get the situation wrong a lot of times. Here they were crying out to him, telling God about how big the problem was, instead of telling the problem how big God was. But God was about to show them. And it says in verse 16, but thou lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. God said, listen, you just be obedient, and I'm going to take care of you. That's the best thing I know. As parents, our kids, they've got confidence that we're going to take care of them because we're mom and dad. We're their superheroes for a long time until they become teenagers. And then we don't know nothing all of a sudden. Amen. And they know it all. And we've all done it. None of us is innocent in that. We've all got to that point somewhere along the way. That's that separation thing starting with an adolescence. But God knows it even when we're teenagers in Christ. We do the same thing. Well, God, you know, you really need to do this different. But God says, hey, I'm the Father. And I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I do know what you need. Amen. If you just listen. And he's telling Moses, hey, listen, there's no problem. Don't worry. I'm going to get honor on Pharaoh. He's kept my people in bondage. And he's been mean to them. And he's caused them to suffer. I'm going to cause them to suffer just a little bit. I'm going to take care of you, Moses. Just stretch forth your rod over the waters. Stretch forth your hand, and I'll separate them, and you can go over on dry ground. It says, and the angel of God which went before the camp, see, they had someone leading them, better than a GPS. That thing can be wrong. This angel wouldn't. Knew the way that God needed them to go. Went before them of Israel and removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. God was providing them protection. He provided the same protection that gave darkness to the Egyptians and caused them to stumble in the night. He gave light to the children that they might be able to travel. God does the same thing in the darkness that we're in. He will still give us light that we can travel and get closer home. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now I've seen some of these intellectual people that have went and said at that time of year in the Red Sea that the water was only ankle deep, and that the wind blew the water back. Well, all I can say is praise God if he drowned all them Egyptians in ankle-deep water. I just goes to show you the power of God. Whether it's 30 foot deep or 3 inches deep, God can do whatever he wants to whenever he decides to do it. But they're trying to change it. Say, oh, this didn't happen because this was... Don't believe that. You can just believe what God's Word says, because God ain't never lied.
Amen.
Ain't never lied. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. That's all explanation I've got to know.
Amen.
And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and all his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. They got in there and then they just got confused and got discombobulated on the way to get out. Said he confounded them, troubled them in the host of the Egyptians. And they took off their chariot wheels. Now, that's not a smart thing to do. Last time I checked, you need them wheels to move them chariots. Along with the horses, they took off the wheels. I guess they thought they had flying chariots. But we see they took the wheels off their chariots and said, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They had enough sense to realize when things started going bad, they said, we need to get out of here. God's fighting for them. We don't have a chance against him. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came in the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Today we have countries threatening us with nuclear attacks, with all different sorts of things, because they don't like our lifestyle, because we have freedom, because we have the freedom to be able to proclaim Christ.
Amen.
We have a freedom to be able to worship Him. We have laws in our country, though, that say that some of our amendments in our Constitution are outdated, but that, number one, the right to free speech, they don't never speak against that one. They still like to be able to voice their opinion. It's all the others that they don't agree with that, well, we need to change this, we need to change that. But let me have my right to be able to voice my opinion. You know, I've got opinions that ain't always popular with everybody else and everybody else's way of thinking. It's not always something that I need to be able to share with someone, though I might be right. But in the long run, to allow, sometimes the school of hard knocks takes place and we can come together. Sometimes it's not worthy or worth causing hard feelings to share some of our ideas and opinions. But the one opinion that I'm sure of that is one we need to share is the opinion of God.
Amen.
And the knowledge of God. And we need to know it. If we do not know His knowledge, if we do not know what God's opinion is on the matters, we can't share it with no one. And don't try to have a battle of wits with someone. One of you might be unarmed if you don't know. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. They saw what took place. Hey, we're still seeing what takes place. We've got God's Word that we can look into. We have the record. I talked in Matthew the other night with Matthew and the book of Luke, the genealogy of Christ, as they went back to the record and wrote down who begat who. We have the record. We have God's record of what took place. We have physical records of things that happened, of the kings, of the leaders, of the hard times, of the different struggles. We have a record that goes along and says what God's Word says also. That don't make God's Word right. It makes the others line up with God's Word. God's Word was already right. But they saw and they feared the Lord and they believed the Lord, because they saw what He can do. Church, we got a whole book of things that God's been able to do. We've got people sitting here today that's miracles of things that God's been able to do. And we're still going to see miracles happen. The miracles hadn't ceased. Our belief is what ceased. Our faith in what our God can do is what ceased. He is a strong and mighty God. He rolled the seas back. Not once. Not just once did He part the waters that they could cross across. He did it for Moses here. We see Him do it for Joshua. We see Him do it for Elisha and Elijah. When He placed the mantle in the water and they parted and they went across. God's a mighty God. He can take a little drop of water. I've told you this before. I'm amazed by water. I don't like to swim in it. I'm going to play in it. But take that one little drop of water. And the way it expands when it freezes, gets in the right place, boy, it can cause havoc. It can bust your concrete. It can do all kinds of things. You can put that same water under pressure, whether it's steam or whether it's under high pressure pump. Boy, you can do amazing things with it, or it can be real destructive. But yet you can drink it and give such quenching to your thirst. Water. And the waters that Jesus gives to us of salvation, that He pours out upon us as He gives us His Holy Spirit, and as we're baptized into the likeness with Christ as He went into the water and we come forward. He parted the waters that they could cross through on dry ground. He wants to part the waters that's before us. We got a sea of troubles that's before us as Christians in the country that we live. And God's saying, stand still and see the salvation. Stand still and see what I can do. But first they had to start their journey and had to go where God said camp and stand still where God wanted them to. And when the waters parted, He said move. I believe the waters are starting to part, church. I believe it's time for us to move. I believe it's time for us, like never before, to invite people for revival. Like never before, pray for revival. We've had some great revivals, but they're in the past. A great revival is in the future. Do we want revival? Do we want it today? Do we want it when it's scheduled? Do we want it in our lives as a church? We got to be revived. Revived. If you was on the table at the hospital, maybe it's going too far, maybe it's the right illustration. And our work for God was what was keeping us alive. Wouldn't you want resuscitating? Or would you need resuscitating? Would it be a flat line or would you have a sinus rhythm? Would it be bringing out the AED and hooking it up to you and they're hollering clear and trying to shock you back in? What kind of life are we living? We get troubled in this life. We see the seas before us. We see the army coming behind us as Satan's trying to attack. And we hunker down. It's time that we stand. It's time that we move forward. God has brought us here together to this point in time for a great and marvelous thing that God is wanting to do for New Hope Church, for His church, for His people, for this community. All it could take is that one voice. Stephen mentioned that about one person starting a revival. There was a song out, trying to remember the group that sung it right now. That's probably not as important, but it starts with just one voice. Is it your voice? Is it your prayer life? Or are you the hindrance? Lord, don't let me be the hindrance. Let me be the one that starts it and keeps it rolling. That I can be an instrument for revival. Remove all the roadblocks in your life that you can have revival. Pray for Brother David before he gets here. Pray for his wife, Debbie, going through treatments and things. Pray for her. She needs your strength. And she can feel it. Binding our hearts together, we can give strength to our sister and to our brother. Karen can testify to that, that you can feel that strength come through the prayers of people. They need it. Sister Karen still needs it. We have many that still need it. Brother Phil, he needs our prayers. Don't look at the sea that's before you or the army that's marching up behind you. Just know God's parting the waters and it's time to move. It's time to move. Sinner friend, you can drown in those waters with the Egyptians if you're not careful. If you continue to put off salvation till a better day, there's no better day than today. God's dealing with your heart. Today is the day of salvation. He wants you to come in to be His child, that you can go through on dry ground, that He can part the waters and give you a clear passage to the other side. But you have to heed Him. You have to listen. He's wanting you today. He's saying, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Friend, that's the sweetest rest you'll ever know. The sweetest rest you'll ever know. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.